Take your Bible and go back into the book of 1 Peter. We're going into the second chapter. We've studied several things, two things out of verse number one. One of them was dealing with how we're to be and what we're to lay aside after salvation. Chapter 1 deals with salvation through the precious blood and also through the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. We do thank God for that this morning. And then we come back last week and we talked about lively stones and the stones and the foundations and so forth, Jesus being the chief cornerstone and those sort of things. And he's the divine stone, the smiting stone, the headstone of the corner, the crushing stone, the rejected stone, God's chosen stone. We went through those last week, and I trust that there was a blessing to you as we studied those together. But today I want to look in this same chapter, and we're going to read some of the same verses. Matter of fact, we're going to read the same eight verses that we read last week, and we're going to look at that again a little bit more, but this time we're going to pick a different subject. In chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice, all of it, he said, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. Isn't that strange? Newborn babes. They're special characters, aren't they? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and great and precious. Also ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now this morning we're going to deal with the little word precious. Precious is in there several times, and we're going to look at some precious things out of the book of 1 Peter. And so we want to notice these today. First of all, look at those in this chapter that we've went over. In verse number 4, we talked about, it talks about, and to whom coming also as unto a lively stone, or living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And then the word precious again is mentioned in verse 6. And it's also mentioned in verse number 7. And we're going to deal with these precious things out of the book of 1 Peter. And Peter uses these. But the first one is mentioned that we've already went across. We didn't mention it when we went through it. But we was in the first chapter. And by the way, we're not doing a word by word, verse by verse. We're doing the overall and subject study out of the book of 1 Peter. Going back to chapter 1 and verse 7, I want to give you the first one as we look at them today. And I trust that they will help you as we look at these things and see them. And some of them we're going to get out of the book of 2 Peter. Peter's the writer, and not the author, but the writer. And so we're going to give you some things about that. In chapters 1, verse number 7, he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, you might want to say to this morning that it's precious faith. That's not what verse 7 says. It says the trial of your faith being much more precious. Now, we have faith, but we get tried, don't we? We get tested. We get tempted. The devil does everything he can to throw things in front of us, make us stumble. And we did talk about being tried and tested in chapter 1. But this morning we want to talk about the trial of your faith is precious. Now, it don't seem precious when you're going through it, does it? Amen. When you're fighting the devil by the acre, and brother, when you're trying to, fighting him tooth and toenail and trying to keep him off of you, I'll guarantee you it's not fun. It's hard. But the trial of your faith is precious, and the reason it's precious is because when it's all said and done, and at the end God gets the victory, then it's precious because you grow in strength and knowledge and wisdom and power and character, and God gives you all that. We need that trial of our faith. If everything went smooth, we'd be spoiled brats. Amen. Some of us are anyhow, you know. But anyhow, we'd be spoiled. And we thank God this morning that we have some trials of our faith. I don't like them, despise them, had a lot of them, don't want them again, but they come. And that's just something that happens. So number one in your notes, the trial of our faith is precious. And then we'll go to, let's see, chapter 1 and verse number 19. Chapter 1 and verse 19. The second precious thing found in the book of Peter. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Not only is our trial, the trial of our faith precious, but the precious blood or the blood of Christ is precious. Now, you know why it's precious? Because it's the only thing that can save, the only thing that can wash away. It's the only thing that we can cleanse from sin. Draws led us in that song a while ago, there's power in the blood. Thank God there's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're living in an age when people don't like the blood. They despise the blood. They've always despised it. But it seems like it's worse today than ever. Nobody wants to hear the saving blood of Christ. They don't want to hear. I would never have thought in America that we'd stooped as low and got where we are and diminished the blood of Christ. Many of the new perverted Bibles, some of them has taken out some of the portions, not all of them, but they've taken out a lot of the references to the blood. Even a lot of churches now singing songs and hymnals. They're singing out of books that have taken the blood out of their songs. They don't sing that anymore. Preachers have quit preaching the blood of Christ. But it's still precious, isn't it? Amen. Every bullock and goat and lamb that was slain in the Old Testament time pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming. Amen. Praise God. Let's think about old Jacob. You remember him out there and he saw a ladder? Remember that ladder? Went from heaven to earth. Praise God. That's typified in the Old Testament how that the Lord Jesus one day would come. You see that in the Old Testament. That's what it's a type of. That's going to be a ladder, a means, a method, a way of getting us from earth to heaven. And that method was through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. He's the ladder, amen. Talking about not Jacob, but the Lord Jesus. He's the ladder. So we appreciate that. The blood is precious, is it not? Praise God, I still like to preach it. Still like to give it to people and tell people the truth. Thank God it's with the precious blood of Christ. Not what I've done, not even what I thought about doing. I could not have done anything, but it's only with the precious blood. I stand before the Lord, amen, with empty hands because He's the one who's redeemed me, and I thank God for His blood. Then we come to chapter number 2 in our lesson here, and we get to verse number 4 for the first time. And then He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So the third one is, He is precious. Not only is the blood of Christ precious, not only is the trial of our faith precious, but Jesus Himself is precious. What a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. Got up thinking about it this morning. What a Savior I have. Amen. I get out of kilter and get out of line, but I tell you, Jesus has never failed me, not one little iota. I failed Him. You failed Him. But I've never seen a time in my life that He's ever failed me and failed you. Thank God. Amen. He is precious. Precious to me. Precious because of His redemption. Precious because of His blood. Precious because of His book. Precious this morning. I mean precious. Something as precious as you treasure it, don't you? Some of you folks have got some precious things. Amen. Now, I might look at it and it might not look too precious. I had some stuff and I tore up stuff and throwed away stuff and hauled off stuff to the trash. And somebody said, and they showed me something they had. And I said, I had one of them. And they said, well, it's precious. It's worth something. Amen. I have. I've thrown away some things and I can think of a lot of them. I throwed away and hauled off. And then somebody said, well, that was worth some money. It's too late now. Amen. Somebody else got it. And it's amen. I turned it back into the earth. And anyhow, recycled it. But or somebody salvaged it one. But what is that old saying is, our trash is somebody's treasure, can be, and it is. And so anyhow, we know this morning Jesus is precious. He is precious to me. Thank God. He's a friend that stick closer than a brother. We could stay all day on this little subject. He's a friend that will never leave us, never forsake us. He'll always go with us. He is precious. Amen. Our children are precious. Our grandchildren are precious. Amen. People got a lot of precious things. They possess those things. But Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, He is precious to me. None surpasses the Lord. So that's the third one we find. And then verse number 6, this is the next one. And he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He is the precious cornerstone. Because he's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the corner. We'll read that later. But he's the precious cornerstone. He's the precious chief cornerstone. Praise God for that. Nobody can build on anything and get the results. But if you build on Christ, amen. Now how are we to build on him? 1 Corinthians tells you. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll show you how we're to build upon these. And you know where I'm going, and you know what I'm fixing to say probably, but here we are. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 11. Bear this in mind when you look at it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't lay another foundation. There's already one laid, he says. The foundation has already been laid down. It's the Lord Jesus. And you can't build another one. Don't need another one. Now, verse number 12, the foundation is to build upon. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, let's go back and read. I want you to see this right here. What it talks about, let's look at verse 14 and 15 in that, and then I'll make that comment. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. And I was using this one day, and I was talking to a Pentecostal person, and we was dealing with it, and so I said something about eternal security and being saved and that we get rewards and so forth. And he is disagreeing with me on some things. But then he come to me and he mentioned this scripture here. He said, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I looked at him and I said, would you explain that to me? What does that mean? I was trying to set him up. And he said, it's simply being saved so as by fire is waiting until you get down to the end of the journey, and right before you get ready to die, you get saved. That's saved so as by fire. Now that was his theology of that. And I said, that's not even what he's talking about here. It's talking about how you build on the foundation. Absolutely. And we've got so many people that's got their own little ideas, and it's not my concept or your ideas that makes the difference today. It's what God says. And we are noticing things are twisted and warped more so now than ever. Do you believe that? Have you noticed that people's minds are more warped on things of the truth than they were 20 years ago? I've been in this thing a long time, and I've seen it. And there was times when people, they either didn't know, and they believe what you believed, or now people will argue with you. They look at, I'm talking about people in the church that's supposed to know better and sit under the same preaching and teaching I have down through the years and had the same Bible. How they interpret it different, I don't understand. But this is not talking about being saved right on your deathbed. It's talking about how you build, and what if you've built on wood with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. You don't have any reward. You're just going to be saved. That's it, by fire. You don't have no rewards. That's exactly what he's talking about. And I want something to crown him with when we get on the other side. So we talk about here, he's precious. He's the precious cornerstone. I remember we built this building down here. Of course, I've seen it do it in other places too. And I've always noticed, and I've always said this, and I keep saying it. And I know it's a repeat, but we have to be reminded. You just don't go out and start building a building. I have done that. Amen. And then when you start putting the stuff together, you find out it's out of square and nothing works, and you have to make everything work and fit. But if you want it to be a right building, you got to get your foundation right. Amen. If you don't get your foundation right, you may not have a square building. It may not be a rectangular building. It may end up being curvy. Amen. And so I'm saying to you this morning, you better get your foundation right. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's precious. So they start with a corner. And so they'll shoot everything with a corner, pull the strings, and then they'll pull the square. They'll square it up, and then they start with the foundation. When they get the foundation laid and they get the foundation right, the building's going to be right. Amen. The only other thing about the building, if a foundation's right, is you got to watch your materials you put in the building. And that's what the Lord's saying in 1 Corinthians 3. Got to use the right materials. The wood, the hay, and the stubbles, like our bad works. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones is those things that we do that glorifies God in the will of God, that is. And so we find that. Next precious is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, and the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, when we found out that the trial of our faith is precious, we found out that the blood is precious, we found out that he is precious, and we found out that the cornerstone is precious, and now we find out that he's precious to the believers. Amen. He's precious to you and me. Amen. Because just who he is and what he's done for us, he's precious. Amen. We don't come to church to talk about the weather. Don't come to church to talk about the things. We come to church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And that's what we do, because he is precious. He's precious to us. And I give God the praise and the glory for it. Now, Peter has a couple more precious, but it's in his second book. So turn over to 2 Peter, please, chapter 1. And let's look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1 gives us another one. Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So there's a precious faith. Amen. Precious faith. Now, it's our faith being tried is precious, but faith, period, is precious. Praise God. I'm glad I got faith. You know why it's precious to me this morning? Because God put in my heart the opportunity and the mindset to believe. If I did not believe, I'd be on my way to hell. If you did not believe in Christ at some point in your life, you'd still be lost and on your way to hell. But God gave me precious faith. Amen. Now the faith, somebody said, that's my faith. No, it's not. Amen. Nobody in this building had faith to believe. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God gave us the faith to believe. I didn't know how to believe. Did you know how to believe on Christ when you got saved? I didn't know what was going on. I had question marks in my mind. But when I got up out of my seat, come down the aisle and asked God to save my soul, he gave me the faith to believe in him and upon him and through him. And thank God today, my faith that I have today is his. That's why it's precious. It's not my faith, it's his. You said, oh, my faith is weak. Amen. Well, yours is. That is right. Amen. And we need to operate on faith. My wife asked me, we was going down the road yesterday, and there was a, I said, how was that? Walking on water tabernacle or something like that. They had a church. I went by it. It was walking on water. I was a tabernacle or something. Had something behind it. And I noticed off the wall, Pentecostal, and walking on water church. And Audrey said, what does that mean? I said, it means they just walk on water. She said, could you walk on water? She asked me, she said, could you walk on water? I said, if the Lord asked me to, I could. Amen. He ain't never asked me to and ain't never commanded me to. Amen. Now, Peter walked on it. And she said, what do you think about Peter? Do you think he doubted that? I said, no, I believe Peter jumped out of the boat. He got to doubting when he got out of the boat. Ain't that right? Amen. Lots of times I've stepped out by faith to do something, and then my faith, amen, my faith, not his, but my faith, reneged on God. Have you ever jumped into something, you felt like God told you to do something, you jumped in to do it, and now everything looked like it's turned upside down, it's going backwards, and you said, what have I done? I've got myself in a mess. Have you ever done that? I have. Amen. So then you think about, what should I do? What should I do? And Audrey asked me that yesterday. What would you do? I said, well, I'd do the same thing Peter did. Lord, save me. Amen. Amen. So I looked back to him for help. And so our faith is precious because it's his faith that he's given us. And I do praise God for the faith that he has given us. And then the last one is in chapter 1 in verse number 4. These are precious things. Now you can find some other precious things in the Word, but I'm just giving you these about the Apostle Peter. And he said in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. So looking at this, it's not only precious faith, but now it's precious promises. Our Bible's filled with thousands of promises. Thousands of promises. Now, one fella put a number on it. Another come along, put a number on it. And I've read about how many promises there are in the Word of God, and I've never seen two different ones unless there's copying or repeating after somebody how many promises there are, because it's hard to catch them all, isn't it? But our Bible's filled with promises. The thing about God's promises are, they are true and they are real. God will never promise us anything and then renege and back up on it. God will keep his promises. He is true. And so we give God the praise and the glory for that. And we give him the honor. So that's the promises of the book of Peter, first and second one. Going back now, please, to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. We'll move a little bit further on down. We've got time to do that today. And we'll cover some of this area, and we'll cover a few things. And I preached on a lot of this, so we'll just skip some of it. But he said in verse number 9, Peter's talking to us, and he's talking to the saints of God. He's talking to the brethren. Several times we've seen him talk to the brethren. And actually, if you'll look in the first part of the book, he's preaching to the strangers who scattered, the scattered strangers. It's who this book is given to. Somebody said he's writing to the Jews. Another said he's writing to the Gentiles. But basically, he's writing to all. Amen. The Word of God is given to all of us. God may have given it to the Jew at a particular time, a Gentile at a particular time. But the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. Amen to all. I guarantee you it's our admonition. It's our hope and our strength. Now look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Now I've heard a lot of preachers preach that this is the Jew. But I differ with them this morning. I look at this thing and I believe this is the believer he's talking to. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I want to remind you of this. There was a time when God used the Jew throughout the nations and throughout the people to propagate and get his gospel or his word out, especially in the book of in the Old Testament books. But now he's turned to the Gentiles because the Jews, and we've done gone through the study of that, how the Jews have rejected him and God has put them on the sideline, and God now is using the Gentiles. So now we are his peculiar people. The Jews at one time were his peculiar people. They were his royal priesthood, and they were those who, his holy nation. But now God is using the believer, the born-again child of God, Jew and Gentile alike. And so what we are to do, he said, here's what we're here for, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now that's the believer. And we're to show forth his praises. We're to be a witnesses. That's something I say that we're poor excuses of. Amen. We're doing good as long as we don't have to get in the limelight, but we're certainly not going to get out there and put ourselves in jeopardy or put ourselves in a strange atmosphere to propagate the gospel and get it out. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to show forth his praises. Amen. They are to know that you're a Christian in the house when you're around unbelievers. Amen. And I'm not talking about bragging and boasting and patting yourself on the back. I'm talking about just exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. That we ought to exalt him in our conversations wherever we are. Used to people did more so than they do today. I still hear some that do it, don't you? You ever get out in a public place? Not often, but you'll get out in a public place and there they are. You hear them talking about the good things of God. I enjoy listening to somebody talking about the good things of God. It sounds like music to my ear. Amen. Our witness has been about like what our radios are. Years ago, our radios have a lot of gospel on them. All over. Even the worst ones would have a little gospel every now and then. They would. Now there's some of them, I mean, you don't even mention the name of God on some of them. Some of them do still. Thank God for that. But some of them, they'll never mention God unless somebody just being interviewed that they're not expecting. That's right. And so that's what, you used to see the same thing with the people. Amen. There's always a glorified and lifting up the Lord God. And now, it's very seldom you hear anybody talking about the Lord. Look in most of your restaurants you go out. Watch them when they come in to sit down to eat. Most of them just sit down and start eating just like a hog in the slop trough. Amen. I mean, they just eat. Don't pay no attention. Amen. Every once in a while, I see some that pray. And a lot of times, even seen it. And I've seen where the ladies sometimes are still trying to keep the things together and they come in. And have you ever seen some of these get out in the public like that and they're going to have prayer? And the husband, he feels like he's just out of the framework. And his wife bows and prays, and he just feels like, well, I'll just do this because she does it. I get that sense. And then sometimes you see the men, get their families and pray together, and that's good. But we are seeing that today. We are to give our witness in verse number 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. See, that's why I'm talking about these are the Gentiles. There was a time we were not the people of God. Now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Didn't mean that God didn't love us. Amen. Just meant that the Gentiles would not hear. The Gentiles would not listen. The Gentiles would not come to God. And the Jews did. And then they turned and went the other way. And now we're seeing the same thing happen to us. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You talk about Peter being a separatist. He was. Amen. John was, all these disciples, all these apostles were separatists. In other words, they believe in separating from sin, separating from the world. John says, come out from among the world, be ye separate. Paul, in all his writings, he preaches separatism. Separate from the world. Get out of the world. Don't look like the world. Be like them. He says we're to do that. And so Peter's doing the same thing. You talk about Amen. We had some invoice for our pastors now. We'd walk the chalk line. Amen. We would. Amen. We wouldn't, or we'd do like most of them, we'd just leave them one. Amen. So anyhow, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you." In other words, I'm pleading with you. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain, stop it, quit, leave that alone, from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And there's a lot of things that we could call fleshly lust today. Then he said, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation. Or in the day of visitation. Now, remember this. The old saying is, and it's been said for years, and you've heard it said many times, the only Bible that some people read will be yours. Amen. Your life, what they see of you, what you do, is all some people's going to know about God. And you know, that is sad and strange too. There's a lot of little old boys and girls that don't get no gospel. No gospel. Amen. They can't get it at school because the school won't have it. Unless they happen to get around where Miss Burrell is, getting on in the afternoons, and that's limited, isn't it, Miss Burrell? And I mean, I'm talking about the majority. It's just a little handful gets that. But they don't have that. And I'm sure in the school systems, if some of the kids went to your class and told their parents, they wouldn't like it either. I mean, it's just, isn't that strange that we're living in a country like that today? That it's gone that far away from God. But anyhow, you see this. They're little children. They don't know anything about Jesus loves me and singing a little songs and having all that. And they grow up, and that's what's running our society today. People that have been raised with no God and no thought of God and But see, the Bible said, and what happens is that same crowd talks about us. They laugh at you and me because we carry the right Bible. They laugh at us because we do certain things and don't do certain things. They laugh at us because we're separate and different. They laugh at us because we're peculiar. God's people are peculiar. Amen. Now, I know some people are peculiar, but it's not God's peculiar. Amen. There's a difference there, and we won't get into that today. But I'm saying that there are some things about it. We are peculiar. In other words, we don't look like them, talk like them. We don't live like they live. What they laugh about, we don't laugh about. We laugh about other things. We have joy in our heart, and we have joy in our soul. And they have is just joy at the present moment. But we have everlasting joy. And we look at these things, and he says, at the time, now when they start talking and speaking against you, you're at the place. What you need to do is just keep on, keeping on. He said, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So he's saying to you, live the way God wants you to live, and you are a testimony, and they can see what being a Christian really is. And most of the times they see us acting like they act and talking like they talk and getting mad like they get mad. Amen. That's right. Amen. Somebody cuts you off in the road, down the road, and you act awful Christ-like, you know. And they see that. Oh, God help us. Verse 13 said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Somebody said, I'm not supposed to obey the laws. Oh, yes, you are. Amen. Amen. Now, the only problem that I have with, then I don't have no problem with the scriptures, but I honestly believe that you slice that the way some people do. I don't believe that you and I are to back up abortion, even though it's legal. There's a lot of things that's legal, but if they put a sign out on the road to run a certain speed, then I believe we ought to obey that. And if we get caught, we ought not to get mad at the policeman for giving us a ticket. Amen. Yeah, just pay it and be quiet and ask God to forgive you. Right? And go on and try your best to do right. You said, you ever speed? Don't ask me that question. You already know the answer. Anybody in here ever not run past the speed limit? Anybody? You are, we'll let you tell us how. Amen. So I was at a place the other day and I didn't even know what the speed limit was. And I was wanting to drive faster and I said, it'll be, and everybody started passing me. But that don't necessarily mean that the speed limit's increased. I believe you go 100 and somebody's going to pass you. But in a few minutes I went around and I've seen that the speed limit had increased and I sped up. But I'm saying to you, he's saying here that we submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And this is what we need to do. Live a good, clean life before them. Set an example, and that puts to silence their tongue. And God bless. God help. Let's bow our heads and pray. Seek the face of God, and then we'll get ready for worship. Father, give us what we need. Touch our hearts. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, touch the service in a real way today. May the power of the living God, Lord, come in our midst. And I pray today that we'll see and feel your divine touch. Have your own way. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it today. In Jesus' name we pray.